If you would, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 23. We're getting pretty close. If I'm not mistaken, isn't it the 4th of April that's Easter this year? So next week would be normally the Passion Week, the Lord's triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And I did not mention, but I'm going to mention it now. We will be blessed next Sunday. We have a guest speaker. Brother Alonzo and Sister Barbara will be with us, and Brother Alonzo is going to speak for us. So be in prayer as he prepares what God wants us to hear. I always look forward to Brother Alonzo coming and sharing the gospel, and that's what he does. He preaches the gospel. But as everybody in chapter 23 of Luke, let's begin with verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, "If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself." And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Let's pray. Father, I love you and praise you. I thank you for this opportunity to stand before your congregation and share your holy and blessed word. Give me the words to say. Bring to my memory those things I've studied and let me speak words, Lord, that you would have me to say to your people. Lord, may your Holy Spirit deal with our hearts this morning. If there's one here today that doesn't know you, I pray that Holy Spirit would convict them and convince them they need the Savior. Again, Lord, you've heard the prayer request spoken and unspoken on our hearts. We just give them to you. Pray your will be done with each one according as you see fit. Again, thank you for everyone gathered. Lord, be with those that weren't able to be with us this morning. We just pray for them, Lord. You know whatever the hindrances are, we just pray that they'll get back to us, Lord. Again, thank you for this time. Thank you for loving us. And above all, thank you for dying on the cross for us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. This morning I'd like to speak to you on the subject of the road to heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, says, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate, because wide is the gate and broad is the way to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it." Understand, there's only two roads. There is a road to heaven and there is a road to hell. Everybody born into this world is on the road to hell until they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and a direction is changed and they're placed on the road to heaven. Now, what we just read here this morning, Jesus has been convicted, he's been tried, convicted, and condemned to death. So he is at Calvary, nailed to a cross. Now, there was a group of people there witnessing his crucifixion. First group there was his mother, John the beloved disciple, Mary Magdalene, and Mary's sister was there, witnessing there. There was another group there, the religious elites of the day. They were there to witness his death, and they weren't there to offer comfort to him. They were there because they wanted him condemned, and they wanted him to die. And then there, of course, was a third group there. There was the Roman soldiers who were there to make sure they carried out his death sentence and to make sure there wasn't anything that would hinder him dying on the cross. But there was also one other group, and this is a group I want to talk to. There was two thieves there also with the Lord. The Bible calls them malefactors. Listen, the one in verse 39, let's read that. It says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him. This one malefactor in particular in verse 39 that we read about is an evildoer. That's what the word malefactor means. He was an evildoer. It means during his whole life, he lived a life of sin. He was a malefactor, an evil one. And because of his evil doing, his thievery, he was caught, he was tried, and he was sentenced to death. He lived a life apart from God. And beloved, the saddest thing a person can ever do in life is to live a life apart from God. But let me tell you what's even sadder. When that person that lives a life in sin and apart from God, when he dies without God and goes to hell, that's the worst of all. And beloved, there's a lot of folks just like him. Amen. There's a lot of folks out there. They're born, they don't believe in God, they live a life as they please without any thinking of, hey, what if there is a God? What if I am accountable? What if there's a hell? And that's this guy here. Now notice, he's in agony, he's angry, he's dying, and he says, if you're who you say you are. Think about that. He questioned even who Jesus was. Listen to me. At that time, God the Father made sure everybody knew who his son was. He was the Christ. He was the Messiah. But if you're who you say you are, save yourself and save us. Here is a man that's getting exactly what he deserved. And all of us, when we're born into this world, we're just like him. We are sinners. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned. Amen. All of us. But here's a man on the cross that could have been saved. But what happened? He does what a lot of people in the world have done throughout time. They rejected Christ. Save us if you're who you say you are. The Bible says not only was he a malefactor, but he even railed against the Savior. And that means that he spoke evil of Jesus. He blasphemed Jesus. Now there's a lot of people that won't speak evil of Jesus. But every time they don't come to the saving knowledge of Christ when they hear about him and they deny him, that's exactly what they're doing. They're speaking evil of him by denying him. There are some that would never use Jesus as a byword in a cursing, but yet they talk and they belittle him and they talk about him as if he's just something, a word. Understand, beloved, you are guilty if you don't know the Savior of the very same thing. You're railing against him. Think about that for a second. Let that sink in for a moment. And sinner friend, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm praying for you today. Today is the time to give your heart to Him. Don't end up like this man. This man could have been saved. But you know what he did? He excluded the road to heaven. Here's a man that excluded it, didn't want nothing to do with it. Now, he wanted to save his physical life, but he never even cared about thinking about where his soul was going to spend eternity. And as I said earlier, Jesus said it. It's not me. I'm just repeating what Jesus said. There's only two roads. We're on one of the two. We're either on the road to hell, and let me just throw this in, and I won't charge you. You don't have to do nothing to stay on that road. Not a thing. Continue in your sin. Continue to live the way you want to. But I'm here to tell you, at the end of life, you're going to go to hell. Or you can change direction, receive Christ as your personal Savior, like we're going to see this other thief did, and be on the road that leads to life, heaven. Now, notice, he said, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other one answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condition? Now, two thieves. One is all about saving his skin. And by the way, there wasn't nothing on earth that could be done. He was convicted. He was condemned. He was going to die. But this other thief, and yes, over in Mark it says that they both at first railed on him. But think about this. I've often wondered. I just wonder what changed his mind. Well, I believe it was the Holy Spirit of God. I believe that when he saw Jesus there, and when he saw them nail him to the cross, Jesus never cried out. When he saw Jesus there, when all of the people were mocking him, spitting upon him, Jesus never said anything except, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He saw that. When he saw Jesus on that cross and saw that subscription placed over him, he is the king. Not he says he's the king. He is the King of Kings, the King of Glory, the Lord of Lords. And one day everyone that has ever come into this world will bow and confess he is the Lord. I believe through the Spirit of God those things begin to speak to his heart. And he recognized he was a sinner and he was in need of a Savior. Now, he knew he was going to die. But he also knew that Jesus was the key to giving him eternal life. And you say, well, how do you know that he truly asked the Lord to save him? He truly repented. Look at what he said. Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Understand that this man knew he was a sinner. And let me just say this, because a lot of people get this twisted. No one will ever be saved until they become lost. You have to recognize you are lost. There are so many out there say, but I'm a moral man. I'm a good man. I go to church even. That does not save you. Understand you must come to the knowledge that you are a sinner. And understand because of your sin, you are condemned by Almighty God. Understand. And I'll throw this in. Isn't it amazing how when it comes to recognizing we're sinners, we like to put the blame on somebody else? You know, even Adam did the same thing in the garden, remember? Hey, that woman you gave me, it's her fault. And then what did Eve blame? Who did she blame? Hey, the old serpent. He's the one that caused me. No. But we like to blame other people for our sins. I mean, in all my years in the ministry and counseling, I've talked to a lot of people. And don't worry, I'm not going to give your name. But I've talked to a lot of people that blame their parents for their upbringing. I've heard that so many times. It's just all of this stuff going on in my life. Oh, it's my rowdy friend's fault that I turned out to be like I am. No, it's your fault. You were born with a sin nature. And listen, you can't blame others. You're a sinner. You commit sin, and because of it, you have a debt to pay. There's a penalty for your sin. You can choose to pay it yourself, or you can choose to let Jesus pay it for you. Now understand, sin to God is still sin. He never changes. Aren't you thankful that he doesn't change? See, when he sees sin, it's sin. Now I know today we like to justify sin and we like to change the words a little bit about sin. You know, used to, we would say something like, oh, drinking and being a drunkard is because I have a social disease. I've talked to people that's had a lot of that. I used to have that same disease, but you know what? Thank God he healed me, set me free. Adultery today is, oh, it's just an affair. Change the word, make it. Being a crook and a thief today is considered to be, oh, I just embezzled a little bit. Committing fornication today is just, oh, it's just sleeping with someone. There's nothing really to it. Committing sodomy is just gay, y'all. It's okay. Hogwash. Sin is sin in the eyes of God. And understand, until a person sees sin the way God does, they can't be saved. Listen, when we repent of our sin, we are convicted of our sin, we repent of it, and we turn from it, then and only then will the Lord forgive us and cleanse us. But we've got to see sin the way God does. And it took me a while. I'll be honest, the devil had me hoodwinked. He had me believing that I'm a pretty good guy. I ain't as bad as some. I think, you know, when the Lord balances out my sins and my goods, I think I'll be all right. I'll at least be even. No, it's not like that. Whether I commit 100 sins or one sin, in the eyes of God, I'm guilty. And I have a penalty to pay. Here is a thief that literally before everybody there, that crowd that is around the Savior on the cross, literally when he addresses the other thief, he's saying, listen, I am a sinner. I have sinned, I have done wrong, and I'm paying for it. But I'm going to place my faith and my trust in the man in the middle here on the cross because I believe he is who he claims to be. And because of that little bitty act of faith, this one thief, he still died, consequences of his sin, but because of his little act of faith, he was forgiven and saved on the cross. So what are you trying to say, Pastor John? Listen, if we'll get right with God, and we'll be truthful with God. Yes, I'm a sinner, Lord, and I understand that. I also understand I have no ability to right my wrongs. I have to trust you. very moment we do that, he will save us. Now listen to me. There's two things you have to have. Repentance and faith. We just learned about repentance means you turn from your sin. You confess them, admit to God you're a sinner, ask his forgiveness and turn away from him. But then faith. Faith in what? That Jesus came as the Christ, the Messiah. He died for your sins, and that on the third day he rose from the dead. You've got to believe in his death and his resurrection. Amen? With your heart. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we also have to have faith in knowing if we do that, we're forgiven. Amen? Now, when Jesus came to the cross, as brutal as it was, as bad and painful as anybody ever in history suffered, it wasn't the pain that put him there. Isaiah 52 and 14 tells us that Jesus suffered as no man. The Bible says his visage was such that he couldn't even be recognized. That's how bad he was beaten and bruised for our iniquities. And then the next chapter, Isaiah 53 will preach. It'll preach. You start in verse 1 and you go down in chapter 53, all the first 8 verses. And you know what it says? I did it for you. He proved he did it for us. So, one man excluded being on the road. Didn't want nothing to do with it. The other thief, thank God, embraced the road. And I pray everyone here has embraced the road to eternal life. It's only through Christ and Christ alone. Listen to me this morning. What you do with Jesus depends on what he does with you. If you call upon him and receive him, he'll save you. If you reject him, you'll be rejected. Amen? That's a fact. But the man in the middle was Jesus Christ. He is the very one that established the road. Again, it wasn't about the pain. And listen to me, it was painful. Painful for him to endure on the cross, but also painful for the Heavenly Father because his only begotten Son had to die on a cross and die as someone that was condemned. When Jesus never committed one sin, one trespass, not one. He didn't deserve to die. But listen to me. The cross wasn't about the pain, but it was about the purpose. You see, God sent his Son into the world to die to pay the penalty for our sin. Understand this morning, he paid your debt and mine and the sins of the world. You see, God demanded justice. The Father demanded justice, and the only way there could be justice was the perfect Lamb of God, his only begotten Son, had to die in our place. And God was satisfied when his Son, Jesus, died. And because Jesus died for us, you and I can be saved and forgiven. Again, three men died on a cross over 2,000 years ago, a place called Calvary. You see, one man died in his sin. Because he rejected Jesus, he went to hell. One man died apart from sin because he received Jesus as his personal Savior and his sins were forgiven. and one man died for sin. His name was Jesus. And he died to provide a way to heaven. He built the road to heaven and to God. As I said, there's only two roads. One is the road to destruction. It'll lead to hell. You can stay on that road and not do anything. And the other is the road to heaven. There is something that you must do, and that's to receive Jesus Christ. The Word of God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And the good news is, when you believe on Him, you don't ever have to worry about Him casting you away. Once you're saved forever. I don't know what to think about people that have been hoodwinked and convinced that Jesus isn't enough. If you believe you can be saved tomorrow and today and lost tomorrow, excuse me, saved today, lost tomorrow, if you believe that, listen to me. I wonder about you. One, you got to be miserable. And two, your faith ain't where it ought to be. Listen, when he says you shall have eternal life, he means just that. If you could lose it, it wouldn't be eternal. And can I clue you in on something? God states his character and his integrity on once he saves you, you're saved and you can never be lost again. You see, if you could be saved today and lost tomorrow, do you understand this? This is good. This will help you. You can be saved today and lost tomorrow, then that makes God a liar, that makes God guilty, and that makes God not God. Think about that for a second. Because God can't lie. God says you have eternal life. Do you believe Him? You see, this thief on the cross said, hey, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And you know what I like about that? Of course, Jesus remembered him and said, today you'll be with me in paradise. The very moment you call upon the name of the Lord, you receive Christ right then, right there, and you will be with him and he will be with you. You don't have to wait till you die and then think, well, I hope I did enough. I hope I'll make it. No, the moment you call upon him and receive him, you're saved and you can be with him from that day forward. Beloved, this thief was smart to embrace the road. My question to you is, have you embraced the road? If you haven't, you can. It's not too late. But you must get on the right road. Think about it. The one thief that rejected him could have been saved, and the Lord would have saved him had he trusted him. But he didn't. And he went to hell. Everybody that rejects Jesus today, listen to me, they don't have to go to hell. He'll save them. But if they reject him, it's done. When they come to the end of life. There's no need. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. Son of man cometh to give his life a ransom. In other words, to pay the sin debt, give his life so that we all could have eternal life. He gave his life a ransom for many. One thief accepted. And can I say this, while he was still on the cross, Jesus is still on the cross, everybody says, well, he was beaten and he was suffering and all those things are true, but he was still God and he still had the power to save. In fact, the very last thing Jesus did was he saved someone. Think about that. So it's never too late. As long as there's breath, there's hope. He still wants to save you, sinner friend, if you'll just trust Him and call upon Him. You can't go wrong in reading the account of His crucifixion. I find comfort. You see, you and me were condemned. Death hung over our head. We were just waiting for the sentence to be carried out, just as these two thieves were just as guilty. But praise God, I heard about Him. And I recognized by the Spirit of God that, yeah, there's something different about this man. He is definitely who He says He is. You know, I've often wondered, the night before those two thieves were fixing to be crucified on the cross with the Savior, I've often wondered, when they were in jail, I wonder what they talked about. I'm sure they talked about, well, so this is life. We're going to die tomorrow. What is the meaning of life? I was born, I grew up, I made some bad decisions and choices, and now because of it, I'm going to die before my time. I'm sure they thought about that. What is life? It's knowing the Savior. What is life? It's being forgiven. It's a second chance. It's getting to start a new life all over again. Oh, hey, we're accountable for our actions. Don't get me wrong. If I go down the street and I run over somebody because I'm impaired by alcohol or drugs, I can expect to pay for my crime. That's natural. But I also know this. If that happened to me, if I'm willing to confess my sins before the Lord, He will forgive me, and I will still have a joy and a peace in my heart until I'm called out of here. And that's what He offers you, said a friend. Forgiveness and a way to heaven. Your choice. And nobody there hadn't heard of who Jesus was. They put a sign up there to verify. God allowed that to verify. But everybody in that region knew who He was. Everybody was around that area. There were folks, onlookers that came and went and watched. Why? One, He claimed to be God. Two, He performed miracles. Three, He preached like no other man. Four, He said He had the power to forgive sin. Oh, they knew who He was. If you're under the sound of my voice this morning, you know who He is too. So what are you going to do? Accept Him or reject Him? What road are you on? Thank God, those of us that received Him, we know which road we're on. And we will reach our destination. But sinner friend, if you don't get on the right road, you're headed for destruction. You're headed to a devil's hell, eternally separated from a loving, merciful God who loved you so much that He was willing to send His Son to die and pay the penalty for your sin. One other thing, and I'll stop. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is not Jesus plus, but it is Jesus only. I know that you're told sometimes that there's many ways. There's one way, and Jesus made that perfectly clear. He is it. So don't place your trust in Jesus plus your works and your self-efforts of being good, because that doesn't get you saved. It's in Him and Him alone. Will you do that this morning?